Welcome, everybody, to the Christmas Eve episode of Truth, Beer, and Podsequences. I am Marco. I'm a brewer in the Cincinnati craft beer scene, and I am, as always, joined by the best co-host in Podcastlandia.
I am Julia, and my claim to fame is writing funny things about beer for Beer Vent and drinking all of the beer that Marco makes.
And this is your season. We're leaning into that. Everybody, you know that if you're new to Truth Beer and Pod, thank you for joining us. If you've been around, this is our 21st podcast episode. We record on Tuesdays at BC's Bio Lodge Montgomery. So today is actually the 21st of December. Thank you to our wonderful podcast host, BC's Bio Lodge Montgomery. And today it is bustling right before Christmas. Mm-hmm. It is not only bustling, come down here, get a slow pour Pilsner, but it also smells Christmassy fresh here.
Thank you, Cintas guy. He is using the pine scented cleaner this week, it seems.
Yes.
And it just makes the season that much brighter.
And we have had a little bit of a run of guests as we roll into Christmas and then the new year. And this episode is the same, where we have a guest. New guest.
Brand new guest. Brand never new. Heard before on
yeah.
the show.
All
Though
right.
if you listen to the podcast we recap, his voice may be familiar to you. So
that's correct.
Guest, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, my name is Lee. I was previously on Shift Beers for an episode, and I met Julia, and it was the episode that Marco dropped in, mm-hmm. and we got to do a little battling with a little banger in the box.
Banger in the box.
But I work at the large brewery. Up the street over in Trenton, do a little engineering work up there, but...
Smartest guy in the room right here.
Smartest.
I don't know about that. Probably not, definitely not even on the podcast.
That's hilarious. Well, thank you. Welcome, Lee, to Truth Beer and Podsequences. Yes, Lee and I were on Shift Beers, one episode. Morgan Freeman made an appearance there
for
a little bit of the time. And since then, Lee and Julia and I have got to hang out at a beer event around the city and talk back and forth. So we are very happy to have you join us.
And I wasn't planning on coming in here, but I was just in the neighborhood and had to pee. So I came on in and just dropped on by.
That's how we do it.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. I mean, if your guest doesn't randomly show up because they have to use the bathroom.
Exactly.
How good of a guest are they really?
Yeah.
I mean, that's why Chris showed up last week.
So it makes it real.
Or not last week, but 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago.
It
came out 2 weeks ago. Well,
last week was Gnome and John.
That's right.
And I don't think either of them had to use the bathroom when they walked in the door. They
no,
bucked
I don't
the
think
system
they did.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think they did.
I did technically have to, so I wasn't lying. That is my truth.
So, good.
Welcome again, Lee. So we had John Lee last week, and then we just have Lee this week.
Yes.
So
there's a trend happening here.
Yeah.
There's a trend.
So watch out. Anybody who's got a first, middle, or last name, Lee, is in the Cincinnati craft beer scene coming at you.
So the pretense of this podcast is it's a podcast about podcasts, and specifically Cincinnati craft beer podcasts. So either podcasts that are run by Cincinnatians about beers, a la Shift Beers, or podcasts that are about Cincinnati craft beer specifically, a la Sonder Stories and Cincy Brewcast. There are a bunch more, but there were actually only two that released this week prior to us recording. So, yep. Lee, did you listen to any beer podcasts?
I did. I made sure I got the homework assignment.
Excellent.
I wasn't paying attention in class all the time, but I did get the homework assignment and have listened to both the Sonder Stories episode 84.
Nice.
And the Cincy Brewcast, which you guys were wonderful guests on.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is going to be weird
thank
talking
you.
About.
I know.
Talking about
it's
a show,
almost
talking
gotten,
about ourselves. I
it's
don't
the
know.
Next level of meta where it's, I feel like I'm going to be talking about a podcast, about a podcast, about a podcast. Because I could talk about last week's Truth Beer Pod also.
It's
so.
True. This is very true.
You
we,
could.
We never
That's
recap
true.
Our own show, yeah. but with Lee, we absolutely could. So Jason at Higher Gravity, this is like the most meta of meta of meta podcasts.
Yeah.
Hopefully you understand that now. This is a beer podcast, and we need to let our listeners know what we're drinking, because it
That's
would
right.
not be a good beer podcast without that.
As Noam says, what's the point of a beer podcast if you're not drinking beer?
That's
exactly.
right.
Exactly. It's the only reason to have a podcast, just to drink beer. Good, Marco.
Okay. Yeah, I'll get started. I don't usually start. I am having the slow pour pills that I mentioned earlier here at BC's Bottle Lodge Montgomery, and that's from Perennial Artisan Ales. That's what, St. Louis, Missouri, 5%, and it is just fantastic. It is so crispy.
And I'm having the exact same thing, courtesy of Lee. Lee is actually sponsoring this episode, as he has bought our current round of beer. So thank you, Lee, for not only being a guest, but being a sponsor of the show.
Happy to do it.
And you have a different glass than Marco and I, so you are not drinking a slow pour pill.
I am not this time. I might have had the production meeting, might have had a slow pour. That was great. But I'm having a lunch by Maine Brewing Company out of Freeport, Maine. It's a 7% IPA.
It is very, very good.
Very nice.
I've had that for lunch many times.
Yeah.
I've had it for dinner merry times. I'm in the Christmas spirit.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Merry and bright.
I would look forward to having this for breakfast as well. So.
Oh, 100%. Oh, sure. Yeah.
Absolutely. 100%. You never know. I mean, you never know. That may happen this week, Christmas.
That's
week.
Right.
That may happen.
All right. Well, Lee, as our guest, would you like to pick the first podcast that we talk about tonight?
Let's start with Sonder Stories.
Sounds excellent. Okay. As you already said, Chapter 84, where they talk to Joe Clark from Revel, which is, I don't want to say it's a Sonder-specific expansion, but it sounded like it was pretty much a Sonder-specific expansion. Yeah. I think they're going to eventually rival 50 West with a campus-type environment.
So the term campus got thrown out quite a bit.
It did.
Yeah, there was a little bit of a blurred line when they were talking about... So Revel is this shared office space concept.
Right. It's like a shared office space, event space, virtual golf...
Yeah, golf
space.
Simulator. Yeah.
Right.
There's a whole bunch of stuff. Bourbon room, podcast studio. Mm-hmm. They're going to have goat yoga, and then the Mason High School improv group is going to perform there.
Yep.
And then there's going to be like acoustic, non-denominational ceremonies happening.
That was going to be on the rooftop patio that they're setting up, right?
Yeah, there's a second. There was like a mezzanine.
They did mention weddings going on there, so it's a one-stop shop, it sounds like.
It really is. Yeah, and once you get tired of having the potentially barrel-aged Sonder products, the limited edition small batch stuff from Sonder in the mini tap room, you can just walk right across the parking lot to the main Sonder building and get your standard, you know, your Otto, your Voss, your Cato, and just make an entire week without ever going home. Yeah. They probably have a shared, maybe not shared, but some type of shower facility in there, because some of those office workers, the shared offices, they're never going to leave.
No.
Especially at the prices that they're going to be charging for each of those places. So the other participants on this podcast were Justin, Chad, and Danny, the kind of standard Sonder Stories crew, Joe Clark from Revel, which Joe and Justin had been talking about this concept for longer than even Sonder itself has been open.
2 years or something prior to, because they mentioned when Danny had started almost 3 years ago. It was like 2 years before that.
Right.
But then these talks kind of happened for the whole campus idea of turning it into a whole network, or not network, but a whole, like you said,
campus-type environment.
He said it better than I could.
It was pretty cool, too, that when they talked about the start of this idea, it was actually in connection with the start of the idea of Sonder, where he was hosting one of the early investor meetings with Justin to get into and invest in Sonder itself prior
Joe's
to...
basement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was pretty interesting. They go into some of that, and that was really cool to get that little peek behind the curtain, right?
It was interesting to hear them bouncing back and forth, you know, two entrepreneurial people out there, you know, getting kind of hyped up on each other. It makes you engage. I was laughing behind the scene a little bit, because there's a lot of buzzwords getting thrown around in there, a lot of synergies, a lot of fluid, and how everything was going to be. It was good. I was catching on to that.
It was kismet, pretty much.
It was kismet.
That they got together and did this. One thing that did, and I say concern with air quotes, because both of them, well, all of them obviously know what they're doing, but apparently the sale of the building happened in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
That's kind of, that's a jump.
And the person was really willing to sell it with $40,000 worth of equipment in there, so, I mean, you know?
Yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be an amazing space.
I'm very excited for it.
In the beginning of the podcast, they were talking about the different things they were going to have, such as the shared office space, the tap room, you know, the virtual golfing.
The podcast studio.
Yeah, podcast
well,
studio.
It was before they even mentioned that. Yeah, I thought and even had in my notes, wouldn't that be awesome if they set up a podcast studio that people could either rent out or stop in, whatever, because Marco and I could actually do an on location up there, which would be... super fun. And then later on in the show, they're like, yeah, we're actually going to have a podcast studio. And I'm like, yes, they know.
Yeah, it's, look. Okay, we'll talk. You know, when the time is right, we'll talk. It's also going to be a great way for Justin to scratch the itch on some of the other ideas he's had around podcasting. And we were warned very early on by a friend of the show who was on the show last week that, hey, look, when you get into one, you're going to want to do more.
Mm-hmm. First taste is always free. Well, I guess it wasn't free in their case, because buying or starting a brewery is not free by any means.
No.
But
No.
I feel like Sonder from the beginning had plans of being bigger than just their tap room. I don't know if they really knew exactly how they were going to expand, but now with like Script Coffee and now with Revel, they're finding their space in, I'll say, the northern Cincinnati area. They're,
sure,
you know, right there up in Mason.
Yeah.
But they are, I feel like they've been part of Cincinnati craft beer for much longer than 3 years.
Right. They're very established, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Very established. Yeah. You go in there and it's a very polished product, you know, and it's an awesome building. Just the space, you know, you can tell they've talked about it on the show, but they have an actual architect in there. You can tell it shows that someone actually took the time to design this building.
Mm-hmm. You know? Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Definitely, the Sonder Stories podcast is something where, you know, it's about Sonder, and so they mm-hmm. talk about Sonder and the things that are going on. But I will say that, as in nothing but just extreme compliment and praise to them,
oh, yeah,
it wouldn't be growing, it wouldn't be building into what it is if those visions and people who came along for the ride to try to make those things happen didn't come in at the beginning.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And if they all didn't want big things, like they weren't content just being like your small hometown brewery.
Yeah, they've talked
they
about
want
that
to be big.
They've talked about the business model and mm-hmm. how it is wanting to for expansion and wanting to grow and be
right.
be out and about, you know, be everywhere if they
right.
can be, you know.
And I think that their establishment in the community and wanting to give back to the community as much as they do.
Definitely.
Has also helped them to be able to expand the way that they have and that they are currently.
It's the farthest typical drive that I make for a brewery. Mm-hmm. Where I go to Sonder quite a bit, and it's I mean, it's a 30-minute drive from OTR. But
yep, I'm West Sider here as well.
Yeah.
So
and it's well worth the drive.
Oh, it is every single time. They did drop a nugget about a particular beer, barley wine that they make coming back in barrel aged form at some point.
Big John.
I've not had a Big John.
It is delicious. I don't remember if they said it's currently on tap, but I think that as we roll in, you know, through the winter season, barley wine's definitely at their place there. So when you see it, it is 100% worth grabbing.
Yep.
There is also, if I'm not mistaken, a episode about Big John barley mm-hmm. wine itself.
There is. They did a whole episode with the namesake of the Big John barley wine. I don't have the episode number written down because I don't take notes for the show, as you all know.
So I think I jumped into Sonder Stories maybe 20-ish episodes ago, 30, okay. something like that. Because I remember it was like the beginning of the summer.
Okay.
I jumped in and started, and I have not gone back to listen to past episodes, which I need to.
Yeah. It's really good. If you want to know just the history of Sonder and just little tidbits about how the beers were named, the beers are created, the whole process, how they got, you know, Chase and Luke and all of that. Mm. They're great.
I think my first episode that I got sucked in on was the Cato episode.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Was
that sucked me in. But I only have about 2 hours a day for my commute. So my podcast listening is
hardly any time
at
all.
Is a little limited.
Wow.
Yeah.
2 hours.
Yeah. But an hour. Hour there, hour back. You know.
So they like to do lists on Sonder Stories. What are your favorite? What are your top five of this, of that, of this?
Yeah.
This is something that I actually never really picked up on until they realized it during this episode. But how many qualifiers do you need for your top five list?
Mm-hmm. All of them.
Every
it just
one.
All depends on the list, right?
It really
all
does.
Depends
really
on the list that you're going for. I if you want to make it season specific, beer style specific, mm-hmm. I mean, just put them all in there, all the qualifiers, whatever you want to talk about.
Well, Danny really nailed that one multiple episodes ago with the episode where Gnarly Gnome was on, where they had to pick their top 10 tap list. Like, you can never change one crap.
That was a great episode.
Afterward, I was very proud of too. By the way,
that was that was very good. But yeah, Danny actually built in all of those qualifiers in his final tap handle. I don't remember the episode number offhand, but if you look up Sonder Stories, if you look through their old podcast, look for the one where they have the Gnarly Gnome on, check it out, give it a listen, and find out how many qualifiers Danny had on one of his top 10 fantasy tap handles.
But you're right, they all of those qualifiers are just there so that they can explain the thought process, right? So to do a top five of all time is one list that is separate, you know,
it's sort of
like picking genres of music. Like, you have your top five songs of all times, but if you want to go genre by genre, well, then you're going to make your qualifiers.
But with the whole of all time thing, I think that they could only really have a top, we'll just say top five instead of top six, as Marco would like to throw out there.
Yeah. I do that. This is holiday time. I hate to interrupt you here, Julia, but I do want everyone to understand that when you're making these lists and you're out amongst your family, this is very, very important.
Yes.
First of all, it's going to come up with food. It's going to come up with sports. It's going to come up with drinks. All of these things. So somebody says, this quarterback's in my top five of all time. Okay, well, who's number six? Or this drink is in my top five of all time. Okay, well what are six and seven? You know, you need to spark the conversation. You need to get somebody stopped like deer in the headlights and look at you and make them think.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, I mean, this, look.
Because
what just missed the cut?
Right.
Yeah.
Missed the cut. And then you start your list and you go from the lowest number to the highest number in whatever way you're categorizing these things.
Right, because to your point, they probably have those top five list memories. They don't really even think about it anymore for the potential to remove an ad. And we'll just use like quarterbacks, you know. Quarterbacks, you know, retire. Is this top five of all time? Top five current players? That type of thing.
Yeah.
But when you say that top six, then they actually have to go, oh, well, are those really my top five? Or have things changed? And I'm just stuck in that routine of I always say these names.
Or you're just going to call them call bullshit.
I just call bullshit. Yeah.
You know, I mean, just
as soon
throw
as you say
there,
Brady, you're out. Done.
Throw it out there, and then you just call bullshit. So, I apologize.
Go ahead and
Julia.
Delete their number.
Yeah,
their phone.
Just
say Brady.
Forget it.
You know, just go ahead.
Forget
and, it. I'm done to you. I'm done with you.
Apologize for stepping on over your words there, Julia.
Not at
if
all.
You had another consciousness chain of thought that
nope,
we can run back to and then go to and.
It's gone.
Top five chain of consciousnesses that just got cut right in the middle of.
The top five porcupines, beer, hen of the woods potato chips, a metal bucket of Rheingeist with a Rheingeist logo on it.
And what made number six?
Number six would be a Duluth Trading baseball cap.
Oh, Duluth Trading. Do we want to talk about it for a little bit?
About their boxers?
Oh, so good.
Their boxers are amazing.
I'm a big Duluth man myself.
Yeah.
I enjoy that.
Well, you're a big guy, first of all.
He is incredibly tall. Like, Marco and I both look up to him, and in more than just, like a vertical way. But
yeah,
I mean,
more than just a vertical way. Absolutely.
Well, me and Marco had a conversation about this at Booze, Beers, and Bonks, because I came up to him and, of course, gave him a wonderful compliment about his hair, because I am follically challenged.
As you're looking down on Mark, you go, damn, that hair
is
amazing.
It is a sight to behold.
The amount of product that must be required for such a perfectly coiffed mane at all times. Like, I've never seen his hair move an inch in the 21 episodes, plus, because we did a couple test episodes before we actually put them out into the world. He always looks gorgeous.
He does. I'm looking at him right now, and it's hard to look away.
He may be more gorgeous than Dylan.
Wow. I truly appreciate the kind words, everybody. And, you know, it takes effort. It's, you know, I'd like to say I wake up and it is this way, but it would be selling the effort short. So thank you. Thank you very much.
It's well worth it.
I appreciate it.
So to try to tie this back to the top five list, I feel like for Sonder have almost, I don't want to say constantly change their top five, because they do tend to keep a lot of the same beer in at least their top two, top three. But when you're constantly releasing new beers or new products, when there are, you know, to use our sports analogy, new quarterbacks constantly coming into the game, those lists have to change.
Right,
and if they stay the same, you're not doing your beer right, or you're not picking your teams right, or there's something
how
wrong.
How firm is your number 4 and 5? I mean, that they can drop
already,
off pretty.
Right.
I mean,
yeah,
right.
I mean, it's one of those things where definitely, depending on the time, you could be convinced, you could be swayed, you know, one way or another for a number. As you're constantly putting out new things, as the landscape changes in front of you, because that's what you're doing. You're creating your own landscape, right?
Yeah.
It should be able to change.
Yeah. Sonder actually brought up some landscaping in the podcast as well. So that's
they
a great
did.
Tie-in.
That is
they
a great
did.
Tie-in.
But no, I think that...
Yeah, exactly the same thing. It's exactly the same thing.
I'm trying to keep the cats herded. That's all.
Yeah.
That's all I'm trying
good
to
luck.
Do there, man. Yeah, good. Good freaking luck.
So, how much
have
green space
before?
Do you need after X number of parking spots? You know, that's
it's a good question. It's a good question. I mean, you got to have place to bring the dogs and to be able to have the kids run around and
right. Or if somebody just drinking a lot of Voss, and you have one restroom. What is going on here?
Yes. I do think it's going to be very cool to see what they do in that space if they're able to have a small batch system to where they can do more experimental styles, things that they don't want to do on their full size production line, things that they can't do right now. I don't know. I think it's going to be great.
I think it's always great when breweries get to a certain size and they're kind of maxed out because they're making their core. And then they are able to expand just enough to give... Chase in this scenario, give him more free reign to try some stuff that's been bubbling up in that head for the last 6 months to be able to run wild and try some cool stuff out.
Instead of being stuck making only seltzers because that's the only product that sells from your brewery.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm not looking at anyone who is sitting at the bar currently. If you know, you know.
Right. That's usually typically in button form.
Typically.
Yes.
Typically.
I feel like that wall has come crashing down because they did hire another brewer. There is more available time for said button to become more than a button.
Yeah.
But we can still dream.
They didn't say what form the production space, and I don't know whether it's going to... It sounds like it's going to be barrels. It sounds like the up in the air part, is it clean barrels? Is it sour barrels? I mean...
That'd be great for a sour program.
I don't know why I wouldn't just default to getting your sour beers out of your clean facility.
Right.
But they are going to make the decision best for themselves. The other thing is it sounded like there was going to be a small system there.
Because they made the comment of so and so's. I saw somebody from Sonder brewing at my event, as in there might actually be some actual brewing going on, not just aging.
How cool would that be if they use that space? And let's make up the truth that there will be a small brew system in that space. How cool would that be for them to be able to, via raffle for charity or just flat out purchase, whatever they want to do, to have someone be able to go in and brew with the Sonder team and make their own... And I don't know sizes. I'm not, super familiar, but their own barrel of their own beer or a sixtel of their own beer, depending on what they can do, that they can then have Sonder brew for them, maybe either bottle can. Again, logistics, this could be completely impossible to do. But to be able to give the average consumer an opportunity to make their own Sonder beer, how cool would that be?
And to see what goes into it. I mean, how much work truly goes into making a beer.
Sure. Like, I've done tours through a couple of the local breweries, but it's never been during, obviously never during an actual brew cycle because, I'll get in the way, 100%. But I think it would be so different to see the process as it's happening versus the production space is completely empty. You see the tanks, you see the steam coming off, there's something happening. But you don't know the actual...
You hear those telltale noises going off.
Right. I don't know. So, Sonder, if you haven't thought about that, you're welcome for the idea.
Yeah, and that's really that's really how we're going about it, right? Is like this show, other than the things that we're gifted, just costs money. So anything gifted to us is appreciated.
Yes.
And how would somebody go about supporting the show, Julia?
That's actually a great point that I forgot to mention in the beginning. So Noam will be happy to hear. Everyone will be happy to hear. I have added a donate link to our website, which is truthbeerpod.com. It is a link that'll take you to our coffee.com site. So the KO-FI nonsense that I set up for whatever reason. If you just go to truthbeerpod.com, if you're on a PC, the logo will be on the right-hand side of the page. Just click it. It'll take you to our donate page. You can buy us a pint, support the show, be a sponsor. Or you can, if you're on mobile, you'll just have to scroll down to the bottom of the page. Nice big blue icon will be right there. And buy us a pint. Support us. Help us out. We would like to buy new headsets.
Yes. And so hopefully...
I am worried that I'm going to break this one with my it's maxed out right now in my head.
We said Lee was a big guy. Yes. Yes.
He's a big dude. Yes.
So we have got, spares. You know, it's okay.
The dome is...
Yes.
Is dome,
yes.
Dome size.
It's all that knowledge. It's all of that.
It's not
the
hair. Knowledge. I can't blame it on hair. It's all...
It is definitely knowledge. It's definitely knowledge. And we're joking about Lee being a smart guy, but he is.
He is
and
a very
and
smart
knowledge
guy.
And yes, and I know you talked about it on Shift Beers, but please don't be too embarrassed. But let our listeners know just a little bit about your background and how you got into working in the field that you do, and being up in Trenton and all that. But it starts at you being extremely intellectual and not just a great person to hang around, but extremely educated.
Yeah. So I'll give you the quickest story
cliff
I can,
version.
The cliff note as
yes.
I can. I have a degree in nuclear engineering.
What?
What I always tell people nowadays is that it just proves that
it
they'll
means
get,
you can push a button.
It gives. It shows that they'll just give that degree to anybody. If I can get it, then anybody can.
I mean, have you ever worked in a nuclear facility?
I have once during an outage, doing more electrical engineering work, doing eddy currents for those who know.
Wasn't he lead singer to Pearl Jam?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
Doing testing, non-invasive testing. Well, yeah, it sounds. I can get real nerdy real quick. But before I graduated, that was when Fukushima happened.
Okay.
And dried up all the entry-level nuclear engineers, engineering jobs. And when I was in college, I chose to, instead of doing internships in the summer, party instead and work at pools. And I was a lifeguard for like 7 years.
Right.
That was my, since I was, from when I was like 15 until 22, I was a lifeguard, so.
Hey, you want to know how much uranium this pool can cool? I can tell you that.
Exactly. So yeah, I got into, I did environmental cleanup for a little while after college, and that was a blast. And then I got into manufacturing because I was about 15 feet in a hole in Meridian, Mississippi. If you've been there, I'm sorry, it's not the best. I don't, especially not in July when I was there.
Oh, that sounds sticky.
It was.
Swamp ass.
Yeah, it was about 110, 112 with the heat index or something like that.
Ugh.
I thought, there's got to be something different. So I moved to Indianapolis and worked at a brick manufacturing plant. And then that's also, if you work at a brick plant, I'm sorry, that's also a tough way to make a living. Then I got into candy, making M&M's. The coolest thing I got to do is they only make peanut butter M&M's in one place in the world.
Really?
In Cleveland, Tennessee.
And there's Cleveland in Tennessee.
There's a Cleveland, Tennessee.
Is
about
there also
their football
a river?
Team is better than the one.
Yeah. It's about 30 miles north of Chattanooga, where
okay.
I'm from.
Okay. So was the peanut M&M's the coolest thing that you make? Because on Shift Beers, there was another product that you said that you were at least around. I can't remember if you said you made
it.
Oh, I'll help you.
Yeah.
Yeah, help me.
There was Twix.
Oh, Twix, yes. So I did not work. So that plant makes all the different types of M&M's, but it also makes Twix.
But which Twix?
Center. They had at that point, they had three lines. So they had left, right, and center Twix. So
Lee got to see the center Twix.
The ever elusive
center Twix.
But then I parted ways and came up to, was ready for a change and came up to Ohio. Without knowing anybody in the whole state, my wife and I moved up here and worked for Kellogg.
Mm-hmm.
Things going on right now. I made the right decision to leave when I did, and went on over to where I'm at now.
Nice.
You know, Molson Coors. So it's been good up there.
Nice.
I do engineering work and help run one of the can lines. So If you've listened to Shift Beers, I do know quite a bit about the double seam.
Which I still need to ask, what exactly is the double seam? I don't know if that's a Truth Beer Pod After Dark thing, or if that's something that you can enlighten us on, because...
It's the way the lid goes on, and it's sealed, basically. It's basically folded over twice.
It's about the can end going over.
The can end wraps around the lid.
So do you want a double seam,
or is
it...
No.
Ooh.
Ooh. Double seam.
Double seam. That sounds...
Came to the greater Cincinnati area. It's been a blast. I moved up here. I was telling you earlier that I moved up here like 4 months before the pandemic.
Let's make friends and everything shuts down. People are like, Lee,
just starting to. And then, boy, everything's just shut down.
But what's funny, mentioning friends, is Lee and I, who the first time we met was at Beer Booze and Bonks, or met, you know, really in person, we actually have a common connection that we didn't even realize.
This is crazy, folks. Hold on to your hats here.
I was texting with him today, actually, letting him know that I was going to come record with you.
That's so awesome. So years and years and years ago, I worked at Cincinnati Bell. I was systems engineer there, helping to keep Zoomtown and the interwebs and Fuse and Zoomtown email running as best as I could, with the help of other fantastic engineers. And we had someone on our team named Ian. Ian and I became pretty good friends. You know, he called me Julia instead of Julia because that's what you do. Apparently, you guys were neighbors in Chattanooga.
We were neighbors in Chattanooga, and we both had Great Danes.
Mm-hmm.
His has since passed.
Bell,
the sweet one of the sweetest dog I've been around. But I have a Great Dane as well. So if you see a big bald guy at your local brewery with a big black Great Dane, come say hey and your first beer's on me.
There you go, guys.
Oh,
so all of our listeners, the first person, they're going to be. Well, I don't know how many black Great Danes there are in the city, but if
there's
there are more than one. I feel bad for the people.
He made a comment on Shift Beers that, you know, that's pretty common to see. I do look like the common person at a brewery, so I get that. And it's common to have dogs there as well, so, you know.
Nice. Well, that's
roll
awesome.
Roll the dice
so,
and maybe you'll get a free beer out of it.
There you go. I like it. Call
there
to action.
You go.
Find Lee.
Yeah. And Ian, I don't know if you listen. I've never talked to you directly about our show, but I am so glad that we have yet another commonality. So I'll tag him after.
He's a great guy.
He is an absolutely amazing human being, getting into tattoo work, and his designs are phenomenal. Ian, I am trying so hard to get your design on my body permanently. It will happen. I just need to find someone that I want to do it.
Well, I guess it would be nice if I could touch a body. I know not everybody.
Oh, we got the virtual keyboard
like
broken
you.
Out. This is wonderful.
All right.
Well,
we said
bringing back into to Sonder Stories, was there anything else about the episode that either of you guys wanted to touch on? I'm so crazy excited for the new space.
It sounds like an amazing space. It is really cool that they made it sound like this tap room at Revel, on the occasions where it makes sense and it's available, is going to be an overflow tap room for the original tap room that's going to be staffed by the staff at Sonder Brewing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty exciting. Anybody who's been to Sonder and have, number one, fought for parking, I don't know what they're going to do about that. And then number two, found it very hard to find a seat, even though... Like, let's just pretend that my son and I were there last week and just happened to grab two seats at the bar, even though the outdoor tent was full and inside it was completely jam-packed. The gods were shining on us or them, whoever, you know, in hypothetically speaking, it was. That scenario... That may be where they open up the other tap room, and then you could have parked in that parking space and went to that tap room and then probably had a little bit easier of a time getting a spot and staying for a little bit longer than you originally intended or as long as you originally intended because it was so busy.
I mean, they may get rid of that parking lot that exists there currently for their landscaping.
Could be.
Time
will
tell.
Could be.
The only thing I'm very curious because they decided to take it off mic, but what the names of the offices were going to be, because they did say they're going to name them all. Yeah. And I was very curious what Danny's going to. I think it was Danny.
Yeah.
Said that he had his ideas for that.
So do you think we could even take bets on this? Will they be, will the conference rooms, meeting rooms, the dedicated workspace offices? Because it sounded like they'll have both open air office space as well as you can rent out actual offices, like four walls, a door, well, three walls and a door, I guess.
Yeah, and those are called memberships, by the way.
Yes, yes. Rebel Mason.
The members.
REVEL Mason.com. Prices are crazy, but if it's what you're, if you can do it, that would be absolutely amazing. But do you think that the rooms will be named after Sonder Beers, or do you think they will be named after something else local?
I see the Legler name going up on one of those rooms.
That'll be the penthouse.
Yeah, yeah. Legler name for sure.
I do think it'll be local. I think it was Joe. I think if he has his way, there will be a Cato something or other involved. Is what it sounds like.
I think a lot of it will be local.
With how excited Danny was, I could feel the light bulbs
go
off.
You know, Danny's gonna have. Okay, this is Xavier Room 1, Xavier Room 2, Xavier Room 3. Got to be a little more variety. My vote is that they're going to be named after Sonder beers, some of the flagship beers.
I think there'll be a piece of it for sure. I think it'll be a good blend. I think this with how creative he sounded, like that something went off. I'm sure there's going to be some good tie-ins.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it'll be great.
Yeah, we'll find out soon. That wraps up our Sonder segment. I'm a slow drinker, so I still have beer, but there are two empty glasses in front of Lee and Marco. So let's take a quick break, get a refill, maybe bust into the beers that I brought that are today's Beer Vent beers that I'll talk about after the break.
Okay.
And we'll get right back into it.
Sounds great.
And ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Thank you so much for waiting less than 5 seconds for us to refill our glasses and get ready for the next podcast. But before we get into the next podcast, because today is day 21 of Beer Vent,
some of us might have refilled their glasses twice in the 5 seconds.
This is very true. This is very true.
Behind the curtain.
Yes.
Some of us have had beers. And it's all good.
Yeah.
So the 21st day of Beer Vent, I decided I needed more beer in my life. So I had multiple Beer Vent calendars, one from Wolf's Ridge Brewing and one from Higher Gravity, which is the best Beer Vent calendar that I have ever seen.
And thank you for doing this, because I completely blew it and didn't get one. I dropped the ball 100%.
Pre-orders,
I have no one to blame but myself.
Pre-orders should start again in July, Christmas in July. Get in.
And I will
get
do it
one.
This year, because I know I will forget.
They are amazing. So the Wolf's Ridge, I brought the two for December 21st day, episode 21. It's a whole thing. Marco and I's birthdays are both on the 21st of a certain month, which we didn't know until we got together and we're like, wait a minute.
Interesting.
Yeah. This is ridiculous.
Same birthday.
Yeah. Different year.
Same month.
Same month, same day.
Same month, same day.
Mine's the 21st also. No, it's not. It's not.
Dude, I was going to say, wait a minute. You got me. We got out our driver's license. Like, are you sure? Like, is this real? Yeah. So.
Yeah, it's a thing.
But we have Wolf's Ridge Imp or Abominable.
Impish.
Impish.
Or Admirable.
You know, I had beers and I wasn't looking at the can. It is
Admirable?
Yes.
It depends on the emphasis on the syllable.
Yeah, exactly.
On the syllables, yes. This is why
it's like when
have...
you get bit by the Moskatos in the summertime.
Ooh. So crispy. Thank you, Newbert Report, for lending us that beautiful, beautiful beer cracking phrase. This is a winter lager. And Marco is filling our glasses.
This is the Wolf's Ridge?
This is the Wolf's Ridge.
Wonderful.
I've never been disappointed with anything that they have put out. And I was very excited. Their Beer Vent calendar so far has had nothing that, at least here in distribution in Cincinnati, that I have seen as a, like one of their flagships.
Cool.
So they're like PAC IPA.
Right.
There's still a couple days left. It could still show up, but it has been all like really, really good things. And Marco is...
Marco the delivery man.
Marco the delivery man. He is...
Nice.
He is passing out the cups.
All right. I had to step away and give a little taste of the Wolf's Ridge Impish or Admirable to a local button person.
Or, or admirable, depending on the syllable that you emphasize.
Who I will say, from this angle, gives you a rival for hair quality. It is that's a thick head of hair.
It is.
It's thick,
but it's not quite. Style.
He's also 17, I heard. So
he's also a button.
He's also a button.
So, you know.
Child. Wolfsridge. Is that a place or a part of the wolf's body?
Ooh. I'm going to say that it is like the ridge of hair that runs along its spine.
Okay, very good.
Yeah. Yes.
I just didn't know.
It's a great brewery out of Columbus, Ohio. If you're not familiar, they do distribute their beers down here in Cincinnati. Always worth picking up.
I've not had a lot of their beer. I was telling you, I was up there at the brewery a couple weeks ago, but only went there for dinner and had only a little bit of their selection.
You were already kind of done with beer for the day.
We had been to a handful of breweries by that
point. You had beers.
I'd had beers.
And you were ready to kind of cleanse.
I needed a little refresh, needed some food, needed a little water, maybe.
I heard the food up there was phenomenal.
It was great. We had my wife and I split the stuffed quail, which was great. It was really good.
So how expensive is the food if they're doing like stuffed quail? And
It wasn't like the stuffed quail was, I want to say, like around 30, maybe a little bit less than 30.
That's not terrible.
It was the size of my fist. I mean, it's a quail.
Right.
But it was great. It was nice. Really
stuffed
good.
Stuffed with, what are we stuffing the quail?
A lot of like German, it was kraut, some potato, and some bacon.
Okay.
It was good.
Cool.
A lot of crowd. It was very German influence there.
Okay, very good.
What's the can say, Marco?
This can says, inspired by the myth of Belsnickel, our pumpernickel lager is the perfect treat on a cold winter night. Smooth yet warming with hints of warm, dark bread and rye. You're impish or admirable. This lager is easy drinking, but just strong enough to beg the question.
Ooh.
Cheer or fear?
Mm.
Impish, indeed.
Let's all cheers our tiny plastic cups, and then we will try it and decide if it is impish or admirable.
Cheers.
Cheers, all right. Plastic cups.
Cheers. Happy holidays, everyone. Merry Christmas if you're following along. Cheers.
Or merry whatever you happen to celebrate celebrate.
Do your thing.
Happy Festivus.
Yeah. Or if you don't celebrate anything, have a happy fucking week.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Enjoy the, you're not going to listen to this now, but today is the shortest day of the year. So
it
happy
is.
Solstice.
Happy solstice. Yeah.
Ah, really?
Yes, it is.
So they named a day of the year after me?
Yeah. Wait,
so was that your nickname in high school?
No. just, hey, you're short. I mean, whatever. And God said, but you have very quaffable hair.
Yes.
Yes. Your shortcomings in one aspect of it.
God.
This is good.
I do like that.
This is
it's pretty good.
It's
very
kind
good.
Of, it's not as spicy.
Is this
like
a winter warmer?
No, winter lager.
Winter lager. So my first craft beer that I really got into, I know I'm delving into the shift
go
beer
for it.
Question.
Please do.
Yeah,
please do. Please.
Yeah.
Well, I loved Sam Adams Winter Lager.
Yes.
I loved it. And I
such
drank,
a good one.
I would just sleep after it so much, and I loved it from when I was like, I guess 19 till.
You mean when by the
when
time you were of legal drinking age?
When I was 21, mom, dad, until I got till out of college, and then I moved to Indianapolis, and I thought it was a crazy thing because there was like 8 breweries around in Indianapolis, and then little did I know that several years later I would move up to Cincinnati where there's. What,
500?
Close to 70 or something like that?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Nice.
No, this is nice. I like that a lot.
Good. If you want a winter warmer when we're done with all this and you have, if you have room for one left in you, the Spice Baby from
there's
Butcher
always
the Brewer,
room for one more.
I like the way you think.
And
it's a great winter warmer.
Sam Adams Winter Lager's on. I mean,
it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the, it is on. Ooh.
Yeah.
It is on.
It's on.
Hmm. We're bad
we'll
influences.
See.
How about that?
There you go.
I might have to. Woo. I might. Well, we'll see.
We only have 2 shows to talk about. We've talked about a little bit extra stuff here to kind of give our listeners the full impact of time listening that they're used to. But truth of the matter is we're we're hanging out having fun.
We are. We wanted to give Lee as much time as possible to hang out with us to talk about what he wants to talk to.
You are very gracious to me for having me on. And it's been great. It's,
nice.
Yeah. I forget that the podcast was going on earlier, and I was just hanging out and talking, which is, I guess, what makes for the best kind of podcast.
I love it.
Absolutely. And Lee, only the first time, not the last time.
Yes.
You'll be on here.
I appreciate that. Whenever you'll have me back.
You know where we are and when we're here.
I might have to pee sometime when I'm around here.
For sure.
I might drop in here on Tuesday.
In the freshest, cleanest restrooms of any bottle shop in Cincinnati.
It is wonderful in here. It was very fresh and clean.
This beer is fantastic. And as we've covered, we're going to go into the second show that came out. Now, I will say that for those who are keeping count, there were two shows that released overnight or into this morning. So there is a Outcast podcast.
Yes.
That released, which was the Swine City episode. Mm-hmm. And then also Sonder Stories, which is typical for Sonder to drop on Tuesday. So that's why usually it seems like we're recapping something that happened, I don't know,
A week in the past.
But that's the podcast listening Monday for this show to kind of get behind the curtain or into the weeds or inside baseball, whatever you want to call it. Essentially, we record on Tuesday. Whatever comes out prior to, say, 9 o'clock on Monday, that's what we're going to cover. So that's how that goes. I do want to say that I encourage everyone to go listen to those ahead of Christmas time.
If you're traveling for Christmas, it's a nice thing to pass the time in the car.
For sure.
That's kind of my plan for this weekend, kind of get caught back up a little bit.
Finally legal episode.
Yes.
What an honor to be here for the finally legal episode.
Finally legal.
Yeah.
So there's another commonality. I was on the finally legal episode of Shift Beers.
There you go.
That was the one. We've referenced it before, and Shift Beers has too. Man, there was a snowstorm that came through that day.
Yes, there was. It was a snow ice storm. It took me, so normally if I drive from my house to the place that they don't work at, the place that they don't record at, it's like maybe a 20-25 minute drive, depending on traffic. It took me over probably an hour and a half, I believe, almost 2 hours to get there. There was a certain button who decided he wasn't going to put up with it, and good reason.
It took me just over 3 hours to get from Trenton to over the Rhine that day. It was
that sounds short almost.
Yeah,
for what it was. Because when I left, it was
and I got out
just
well before five
stick.
That day too. So
yeah, good times.
Yeah, that was fun. And they referenced their rolling rocks.
Yes,
rolling around.
Yes, so there was an incident after the podcast where I'm going to my car. They're getting ready. They're carrying this, half-consumed pack of Rolling Rock out to Josh's car. And he slips and bites it, and the Rolling Rock goes everywhere. My first thought is, are you okay? And once he said yes, I start laughing because, that's just what you do.
Oh, you have to. When someone slips on ice, for any listeners that are in the South or don't have ice and that sort of thing. You make sure they're okay, and when they're okay,
you laugh.
Was it one of those like 5 second falls where it was a little bit of a shuffle, or was it just straight down?
There was a little bit of a shuffle because he was holding. I think there were probably maybe 15, 20 Rolling Rocks still in the box. So he's trying to balance that, do this, and none of it worked. It didn't happen. And then Chris comes out and he's already laughing, oh man, let me come over and help you out. He slips, he bites it, and I'm like, let me help you. And this was one of the first times I'd met some of them in person too, was the show. I'm like, let me help you, let me pick this up. And they're like, no, we don't want you to fall. I stayed on my 2 feet, I don't know how. Good times for their 21st episode, and great times for our 21st episode. Here with you, Lee.
Congratulations, by the way, for making it 21.
We are finally legal. So, going back to 21, do we want to open the second 21st day of Beer Vent Beer, or do we want to get a bit into Cincy Brewcast prior to jumping into that?
Let's do it.
Lee,
this is our beer break.
We're on the same wavelength here.
You want me to do the honors?
Right in that mic.
Yeah.
That was perfect.
Oh, yeah.
And Lee.
And I believe Brian wanted to try this one as well. Do we have an extra cup?
I think we need one more.
One more cup. Well, give one of those to him and then...
Here, I'll just pour mine into my same
one. All right.
Hello. This is Morgan Freeman.
Oh, it's been so long.
Lee
what a valued guest is pouring beer and going to give it to a button.
And he's walking over to the button, and it has been set down in front of the button.
I didn't
and
know.
Now the can is being brought to the button.
I didn't know buttons had middle fingers.
Don't thank me.
He asked for it. Is it good?
Good.
All right.
The Lee, the button told you you were number one.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Oh, great. I'm glad. With one of these? Oh, yeah. Did you get that target?
Yes, you got
buy
it.
Buy one, get one?
Yeah. Buy one, get one free.
Oh, love it.
Oh, man, yes. Let's slide these nice plastic.
Let's
you know
do
what?
It.
I have noticed that the tiny plastic cups don't shock our lips like the big plastic cups do.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
They don't do what?
So the bigger plastic
cups. So they don't penetrate it.
Oh, yeah, you can.
What in the hell did we just drink?
I don't know. This
right.
I've never
can,
had
you
before.
You can swear on this one. I forgot.
Yeah. Wait. Are you saying you can't swear on shift beers? Because boy,
oh,
I've
no,
been doing
I,
that
I
that entire
just,
show entirely I, fucking wrong.
Right.
I've been,
hold on to your muffs and cock shaped balls.
So Lee, would you like to read out the?
I would love to. So this is the Wooden Cask Brewing Company Rylander Balboa
there can be
Rye Whiskey Barrel. Age Scottish. Sorry, let me do it one more time. Balboa Rye Whiskey Barrel Aged Scottish Ale. Another great barrel aged brew from Wooden Cask. Try them all. That's all it says.
That's all it says? All right. Yeah. So, smelling this, it smells like straight bourbon. I'm not going to
government
lie.
Warning, according to the. Sorry.
Nice.
We don't care about the warning.
How many can Preggers have?
Oh, geez.
I think as much as about first
probably.
Sip, maybe.
Yeah.
No,
is there an ABV on the can?
No.
Not to stop you from taking a drink of this.
Julia, did you spend some time with the head brewer from Wooden Cask over at Beer, Booze, and Bonks?
I did. I wasn't aware of it, like, immediately during, and then as kind of the conversation was happening, I was like, oh, you're the guy.
Yeah. And cool guy, Randy.
Super I've, cool guy.
I'm not seeing one on here.
Okay.
I can pull up Untappd.
Yeah. What is it? How many that pregnant women can have? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
The ABV. I was trying to
say. How many pregnant women can you have?
Okay.
Oh. So Mark,
so I haven't been pregnant in a long time.
Was just here. I was going to say, how many pregnant? How many pregnant women can you have? The answer is none.
No.
Rachel, we love you.
No.
Thank you for giving us Marco on Tuesday.
She was here during the break.
Here.
My wife did show up, and it was great to see her. I love seeing my wife pop up and catch us at a spot that don't usually find her. And it was great for the two of you to meet, Julia and Lee, and it was really cool. And Vincent, by the way, was here. You may not have known that on the pod, but my son Vincent was here hanging out for the first part of the pod.
Putting down some craft sodas.
Oh, yeah. He was pounding it. He's a soda crusher.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the thing. When our producers see Vincent, they're like, soda crusher is here.
Oh, yeah.
So, and he had a great 20th birthday here,
okay,
by the
so
way.
Lee is very confused by what he is finding on Untappd about Wooden Cask Rylander.
Yeah.
It's saying it's like 8.4, which
sure.
That seems
low.
That seems low for what it tastes like.
It's good, but I don't know. I'm glad I brought it here. I'm not sure that I would want
boozy.
An entire can of the entire 12 ounces. Yeah.
Yeah.
She boozy.
8.4. That's what it says.
Okay.
All right.
Sure.
Yeah. Hey. Yeah. So while you guys step back from the mic to take a sip, I have had some. It is very good. I feel like it is a little more on the booze side than the Scotch ale side, but you can get the Scottish ale
I
on
do
the
love,
back.
I love Scottish ales.
I do feel like when you do a Scottish ale right, it smells and tastes like you're having booze, but it's just a beer.
And you do get a lot of the barrel on
there,
too. It is barrel.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm getting more of the barrel than just the booze.
God, I love Scottish ale. Scottish
this
ale
is really good.
Scottish ale was my second homebrew I ever brewed.
And we are back once again. There is dancing going on at the table. We have
full glasses
in front of us. Mine is kind of half full. I actually got this before we opened the Beer Vent beers, but we decided to go for those prior to.
So what's in your glass?
Mine is the Keeneland Fall Ale. It's a pale ale from Country Boy Brewing, and I can't see the ABV, but it's incredibly tasty. It is very...
3?
Your eyesight is
what
much
is
better
that?
Than mine.
It
is...
24. Yes. Could be 5.5.
Producer Brian is wondering why we're looking
five, five.
At him.
Yeah.
We're looking
five, five.
Past him at the tap.
I can't hear
so
with the shit, but I do luckily have eagle eyes.
I mean, my eyesight is pretty good.
Pretty good. Pretty
Maybe
pretty
mine
good.
Isn't right now. I have
it's
had beers.
Good. My hair, you, yes,
my
you
hair,
have that
my
beer
eyesight.
Vision right now.
Hair and eyesight. That's what I got.
All right. So, Marco,
and
what,
then the ability
what's in your glass?
To do, like, you know, the
impressions?
Morgan Freeman.
I mean,
all touch yours.
All of my impressions are very limited.
They all sound amazing. Do not sell yourself short.
Oh, thank you.
Shorty.
Thank you so much.
Shout out to Morgan Freeman.
Shout out to Morgan Freeman.
Chattanooga native.
This is true.
Oh, really?
This is true. Yeah. Yeah.
Him and Usher. Usher won't claim it, but he is from Chattanooga.
Very good. All right. So, Marco, what's in your glass?
I have the... continued beer of the day, the Slow Port Pils.
It is so good.
Perennial.
It is so, so good. And
I have,
the best guest ever, Lee. Sorry,
I have
Chris.
I have Sonder go back and had to get it after shouting them out for the previous segment. Had to get it, go with another Voss. I've had a
Voss.
Voss
maybe
is
one
solid.
Or two of those previously, but yeah.
Yeah,
it
no,
is,
no. I mean,
very
we're good.
Good.
Podcast time. All
excellent.
Good.
So, Cincy Brewcast. This is going to be kind of a weird one, I feel like, for Marco and I to recap because Marco and I were on this week's Cincy Brewcast along with John Lee, who is another one of the brewers over at Cellar Dweller.
Yep.
So, I feel like it's going to be a, hey, what did you say? What did I say? So, Lee, we're going to kind of leave a little
fine.
Heavier
yeah,
on
let's
you
go, Lee.
This one.
I wish I had taken all the notes that that I see in front of me, but My first impression as I was listening to it was, man, is this? Are you sure this isn't a Sonder Stories? Because you guys were talking a lot of music earlier on during that episode.
We were, to be fair.
I was glad you. I was. Go ahead.
To be fair, I believe most of the music talk was about the Spice Girls
and also
our first CDs that we
and also
had.
Yeah. So
was
what
Spice
was your
Girls.
First? Your first CD was a
Gerardo Marimo.
Okay. I think mine was a. I can't remember which one it was. It was either
Suave.
It was either Linkin Park.
Nice.
Or it was
Hybrid Theory. I'm assuming
Hybrid Theory. Yeah. Or it was Jay-Z's The Black Album. One of the two.
Okay.
What are you like? 19?
31.
I was saying, what is going on here?
Yeah.
I had to
transition from cassettes to CDs. Julia.
Yes.
You being much younger than I am. So.
Ish.
I try to perpetuate, you know, that we're not that similar in age. But cassettes to CDs. One of my first cassettes that I remember having was Yellow Submarine.
By the Beatles.
By the Beatles.
All right.
Yeah. My cassette.
Is that a rap group? Or?
Yes.
The
Beatles.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Very very high energy mumble rap.
Yes.
For the
That's
kids
what I heard.
Out there.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think one of these cassettes that I remember actually having, I remember seeing like a whole rack of them in my mom's living room. Shout out to my mom who listens to the podcast. Love you, Mom. Happy Christmas. Merry Christmas. Whatever it is.
Got a good story. Go ahead.
So the cassette that I remember having and listening to all the time was The Simpsons cassette with songs such as The Bart Man and Deep Deep Trouble. So The Simpsons,
I was
the actual
when
cartoon
those came out. Like I think I was actually over 18 when
I was still, I believe, in grade school when Simpsons first hit the airwaves.
Holy
so it was sometime
Nikes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So basically
the age difference between Marco and I could be the same between us, but I remember having a cassette with Bart Simpson and, you know, Lisa Simpson doing the songs that they did in the show on cassette. Form. I actually lip-synced one of them for a grade school talent show.
Which one?
Thing. Deep, Deep Trouble.
Deep, Deep Trouble?
Deep, Deep Trouble.
I lip-synced third grade lip-sync contest.
Yeah.
Get Out of My Dreams, Get In My Car by...
Oh, shit. I'm hearing it.
Billy Ocean.
Get out of my
That's right. Taking it back to the last episode. Because Billy Ocean did Caribbean Queen.
You mean Caribbean
Queen. Caribbean Queen. Lee, Caribbean Queen.
It took
Queen.
Me hours
you that?
To edit that into.
I don't know that one. No. I know the.
Sorry
the
about that.
Do you pronounce it Caribbean or Caribbean?
Caribbean.
There we go.
That was
Queen.
Yeah.
Is that, did you know the song when we played it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because I mean,
no,
you know,
I'm terrible with artist names, mm-hmm. and I'm terrible with like actors and actresses.
Me too.
Names,
I mean, I struggle for Picasso.
I was a the game that I played growing up on like road trips with my parents is my dad would put on the radio.
Who does this song?
And
who does
first,
that? Yeah,
the first person
yeah.
To
my
name
mom and I
the,
did that. Yeah.
To name the artist would do it. And this is way before like Shazam or Spotify
oh, God,
or like,
yeah,
anything
yeah.
like that. So you, can,
you had to wait for the radio
yeah,
DJ
exactly.
to
way before Shazam. It's like what, like decades before Shazam, yeah. right?
So, but it was one of those things where I remember in grade school having like my little Walkman with an FM tuner in it and all that, and there was a song that I wanted to record, and I was kind of like listening with my headset in between classes or when I could, like if they're playing the song, you hit record because there was no other way to get
yeah,
that
the struggle,
song.
The struggle
unless
was real.
Bought,
I mean,
you know,
for
you,
sure.
Yeah.
The closest I can come to that struggle was like trying to record a ringtone.
Oh, no.
Sure.
Let's be okay, honest. The closest so we you were, ever we're, came to that, Lee, was infecting your computer with AIDS using LimeWire to download music.
That was, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All right. So, Cincy Brewcast.
Yeah,
we did talk about music in the beginning. The guests on the episode were the host, the Gnarly Gnome, who is amazing. Thank you so much for joining us for our show and then
gnarly
having
who?
Us. The
gnarly who?
The Gnarly Gnome.
The Gnarly Andrew.
Okay.
Excuse me?
Who?
What?
I don't know. Oh, sorry. I thought it was. For a second, I was.
You thought you were someone else. but yeah, it was Marco and I. He had us on the show as well as John Lee, who was on. It was a dual episode. We recorded an episode of Truth Beer and Pod Sequences with the Gnome and
so
John.
Was that one the first one?
We did Truth Beer Pod first.
No,
and
we
then
did
we wrapped
Truth
up
Beer
our
Pod
show.
First.
First. Okay.
And then Cincy Brewcast. Yeah. And
so
if you listen to them in order,
I did. I did.
You can hear it just going
hear,
down.
You can hear me just going. Like hitting, like
it didn't
know.
Get nearly as off the rails as I once I like
it's
realized.
Thought, yeah.
Oh,
no,
all the
well,
same four people are on this.
No, but the
you
thing
guys, you guys didn't get nearly as rowdy as I anticipated. You guys,
but
it didn't go as composed as you know, first show to next show, like same consistent. Unless you're Julia,
well, but they're two
Julia
different
sounded
shows.
Like Julia was like the steady. You know, ship throughout the whole thing,
oh, yeah.
as well as Gnarly Gnome. I mean, the two of you, who are really the drivers of each of their shows, like our show.
I don't think
Julia,
so,
you're you know the.
I take the best notes of our show. That is, my.
No, I mean, that's true. I mean,
and we heard tonight that you do all the editing. So
yes,
yeah.
Yes.
I mean, without a doubt. But I mean, you are the show's rudder.
Thank you.
I'd like to say, and the gnome is his show's rudder,
yeah,
and
yeah.
He had fun with us, and he had fun with us both shows. But yeah,
was nice being able to re-listen on a conversation because most of the time when you have a conversation with somebody, you don't have an opportunity to go back and re-listen and re-reflect on
right.
what you said.
Yeah.
So we kind of got that same. Or not that same, but we got that opportunity with listening to Cincy Brewcast, and now we get to talk about what we said and kind of quickly interrupt. Thank you again to the Dougs who are heading out of BC's Bottle Lodge Montgomery. Thank you for providing us with Aleworks Brewing Company with their chocolate stout.
Yeah.
It was delicious.
Wonderful.
We really appreciate them being here and supporting our show without knowing that they were supporting the show.
Yeah, and by the way, the Dougs, as a reference, did come up in the Ship Beers episode that I was on with Lee,
did
I believe, where I talked about some of the beers that I had, and I mentioned a bunch of beers that were outside of the Cincy market.
Oh, and that was from the Dougs.
I said they were from the Dougs, and then Beth mentioned beers that were from outside the Cincy market, and I said, "Oh, were you with the Dugs?"
I didn't even pick up. No. Like I remember hearing that now, but I didn't.
Yes.
I didn't connect the dots.
That's
that
a reference.
So cool.
there are many Dugs. 1, 2, 3, 4. I think they go all the way to 6. Dugs, and they are well-traveled and love craft beer, so they come here and do beer shares.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And they're all Dugs. A cornucopia of Dugs.
Yes, that's right. Nice. There's a plethora of Dugs.
Yes.
getting back to the episode, yes, it's kind of weird that we're here recapping an episode that we were on, but that's that's, you know, the cross we bear. We're here doing it. You know, for me, I think there's a couple of things that stand out to me that I want to recap. But
I had one question before we get off the music. I had one question because it came up as the gnome was talking about. He plays the chipmunk music.
Yeah, for Christmas.
What is your go-to? And I will preference this. I'm a Scrooge. I'm not a big Christmas guy. I blame it on when I was in college, I worked for UPS delivering, and it kind of sucked the joy out of it.
I don't see you as a Scrooge. You're a social person.
Yeah.
You like.
Well, I'm just not a big Christmas.
I'm not either.
My wife and I are not big Christmas. We don't have a tree. We don't have lights and all that kind of stuff. But we do get in the season and we give presents and all that kind of stuff. But I was curious because there's only really, I think, two Christmas albums that I'll put on and we'll listen to it. And I was curious what your Christmas albums were, if you had to pick one or two.
Okay.
Mine are either just the classic Peanuts.
Ah,
Was it Vince Vivaldi Trio, the Peanuts Christmas? Just the.
That sounds right, so we will make
it
our truth.
We had that, showing my age, we had that record.
When I was
a child.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
And then the other one is Ray Charles Christmas.
Okay.
I will listen to Ray Charles Christmas because I am a big Ray Charles.
Oh, hail! I mean, that came out from kind of left field, but I have heard some of those songs and amazing.
Yeah.
What's
not to love about Ray Charles?
I mean,
This is very true.
I mean,
If I had to go on Sonder Stories. And one of my all-time favorite songs, Ray Charles, Willie Nelson, Seven Spanish Angels, one of my all-time favorite songs.
I want to take this in a different direction. I want to say if you could sing exactly like six artists.
At the same time?
Who would those six artists be? Yeah, at the same time.
Okay.
At any given time. Who would those artists be?
Yeah, if I could have the talents.
The talents and sing. I mean, like those artists.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, obviously, I mean.
Both of them, Ray Charles is one.
Uh-huh.
Willie Nelson is one. This is a very good question.
Well, six, you got to have six. And then
Marco's going to hit you with, okay, what's
start
number seven?
From six to one, but I mean,
it's unfair.
I know I put you on the spot. But
If you had to pin me down, favorite group was CCR. So it's John Fogerty.
Okay.
John, I just love the way.
So you're an old soul.
In some ways. It's funny, if you pin me down for my favorite artist, it goes CCR, Outkast, Jay-Z, Nathaniel Ratliff.
Okay.
So are you more 3000 or Big Boy?
I'm a 3000 guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've seen Big Boy play in Knoxville, but he was I do love Big Boy, but I'm a 3000 guy.
Okay.
Elevators.
If you're picking in your top, it's when you say Outkast, you mean Big Boy. Not Big Boy. You mean 3,000.
Yes. I guess
3,000?
3,000.
I didn't travel all the way.
I'm trying to think of other
in
artists.
Middle seat.
I guess, is it fair to do female artists as well for me to
absolutely.
Sing like that?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard Coheed and Cambria?
Yes.
Claudio Sanchez. If you want to talk about someone with the vocal range that the first time someone hears one of their songs, they don't know the gender of the singer. So, absolutely, you can pick a female artist.
So, my favorite female art, and I won't know her name, and I apologize for this, but the band is Lake Street Dive. the female artist on Lake Street Dive, it's one of my.
I'll need to check.
Lake Street Dive is.
She'll look it
it's
up.
Good.
Yeah,
it's
I will.
And
I
maybe
will.
See if they're see what his favorite song is and
the outro with it. Yeah,
yeah. Do a thing.
I'm trying to think of. I don't think that was six. I might have named six. I don't know.
I mean, it was
I don't know, anything from Oasis?
I wasn't a big Oasis guy, except I...
No, Wonderwall on this podcast, Marco.
I was thinking of OAR, not Oasis.
Oh, Crazy Game of Poker is such a phenomenal song.
Yeah.
I sent it to Marco. I don't know if he's listening to it.
If I could go country-wise, my favorite...
Why would you do that,
because,
though?
You know, I will.
I mean, but I said Willie. It's your list.
I already said Willie. Yeah.
I mean, it's your list. It's fine.
Alan, I do...
it's not great, but that's fine.
It is fine. It is fine. I do like Kenny Rogers. I do like his voice.
As long as it's not Kenny Chesney, we're okay.
Ah, Kenny Rogers.
I do have a soft spot for Alan Jackson if we're going to that same kind of era.
That's kind of more old school
I believe
country,
if
so I'm okay
if I'm not
with
mistaken,
that.
I think my wife and I's first concert was a very mashup concert. I think Alan Jackson was there.
Yep.
My wife, who stopped in, surprised us. And I say surprised us, but
you
she
knew
told
she
me
was coming.
She was. I knew she was coming. She was gonna pick up my son, our son, because it's our son. It's
co-created.
Yeah, you co-created son. I think it was country mashup with Alan Jackson and a couple other people.
If I had one more, it would be he was a singer-songwriter. His country also, Don Williams. Shout out to my parents. It's their favorite artist.
All right.
Okay.
Rest in peace. But he passed maybe in
your
the last
parents?
Year or two. No, Don Williams did.
Oh, good.
No. Parents still,
things are going to get awkward.
Still doing, great.
Okay, good.
Shout
good.
Out to
good.
Brian and Sharon.
Good.
Very Brian
good.
And Sharon.
Very good.
You won't probably ever listen to this, but you know.
If
hey,
you do,
if
thanks
you do,
for listening. Yeah.
Thanks for listening.
So
all right,
let's okay, as
sorry,
you said, I am the rudder. Let's steer this back to Cincy Brewcast. We were talking about favorite Christmas songs, not Christmas or not for CDs, but you know, what is your favorite Christmas either album or song? And you kind of went over yours, Marco. What would your favorite Christmas either song or album?
Because I'm not going to take it as long. And for our guest, he went through his top six.
Yeah.
And thank you. I'm not going to take as long. Truly, I really love the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. I truly enjoy the Trans-Siberian Orchestra's, you know, approach to Christmas and their songs. I mean, a lot of songs have a vocality to it and lyrics. A lot of their songs don't and are just instrumental.
Yeah.
Wizards in Winter is just an iconic Christmas, you know, music, song. It's just amazing. Honestly, I don't care, and don't at me. F you. Michael Bublé's Christmas CD.
That's the person I was trying to think of for one of my
just,
top six. Is that voice?
He's phenomenal.
He's
even if you don't like quote unquote
awesome.
Like him, he is such a phenomenal artist. Yeah,
he is. And Canadian, shout out to Newbert Report. My wife and I have seen Michael Bublé in concert.
Nice.
I look forward to the next day that I can see Michael Bublé in concert, because Michael Bublé is not only a great singer, entertainer, but he's an entertainer in the full regard. And his Christmas CD is phenomenal.
Nobody's arguing with you.
No.
You're in a safe space with Michael Bublé.
I'm here for Michael Bublé.
Safe space. Yes.
I'm here for Michael Bublé.
Me too.
Nice.
Julia, what about you? Favorite either album or song?
I was going to say, I don't really have a favorite album. I'm kind of on the Scrooge side to where there are certain years where we end up putting up a Christmas tree and we put up lights, in other years where we're just like, it's whatever.
you put like an iron spike and you just,
you put the Festivus pole.
Put the Festivus, So this year so far, the most decorating, and I'm using air quotes for those of you not on the live stream, that I've done is the mini Christmas lights and the mini Christmas tree that are around my beer vent posts. That is the epitome of the decorating. Now, Josh, every year for Christmas, makes us a tree topper that kind of epitomizes the year that, that we've had. So he's like, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to do this. But we really don't do a whole ton of Christmassy stuff.
Was it like a fist with a middle finger or something?
No, no. So for 1 year, it was a... it was the year that Westside Brewing opened, and he fell in love with their double IPA, Dippa. So 1 year was a can of Dippa with a whole bunch of like garland and stuff kind of wrapped around it.
Nice. Yeah.
For 2020, it was an N95 mask that says, this year sucked, but we made it through it. You know, we made it through it, you know, that kind of thing. So it's always something that is very pertinent to either the year that we've had or even like a recent event experience, something good about the year prior. So that's the most Christmassy we really tend to get. But as far as songs, Carol of the Bells has always been such an amazing, like I always love hearing that. I don't care if it's the middle of summer, if that comes on,
I love it
in all the different renditions. And to go somewhat new school, last year one of my favorite bands, 21 Pilots, put out an actual Christmas song called Christmas Saves the Year that it's not overly Christmassy. It still sounds like their style, but it is in kind of the Christmas spirit. So I feel like it is such a fitting.
It is great.
You know the song? Did you see the video that they just put out for it?
I have not seen the video for it.
They
had
one of the Marvel claymation animators wanted to do a video for Christmas Saves the Year, so that was just put out on YouTube a couple of days ago.
Nice.
It is one. That's awesome.
I'm going to give a honorable mention to Pentatonix Christmas CD.
They are
CD.
An amazing band, artist.
The way they approach a cappella is something that it attracts my attention.
They're very good at what they do.
I truly appreciate it, and I had watched the show with my wife where they came up and came to prominence and fame, and so I truly appreciate, number one, the music, and number two, the struggle to get to the point where they were a headliner.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so I Pentatonix Christmas CD... or Pentatonix Christmas offering. We're past the CD age. Get it, pour it into your ears and enjoy it.
Yeah. So let's bring this back to Cincy Brewcast.
We did. We were there, but,
From the episode, I believe it was determined that the Spice Girls are a Christmas band. Would you agree?
I wouldn't.
I don't think they're a Christmas band. I think they're more like Christmas spiced.
But Christmas beers are typically spiced beers.
Yes.
You have ginger spice. You have
I
haven't had
spice baby. Yes,
I mean, I'd be so lucky.
Really.
Yeah.
Get spice baby next from Butcher and the Brewer.
Okay.
That is what kind of drove the whole Spice Girls phenomenon.
Spice Girl talk, and I'll be honest with you, Marco.
That's why I say it's.
Yeah, I got your back. I got your back. Scary Spice.
Scary
all
Spice.
The way. All the way.
My man.
All the way.
All right.
Spice
baby
life.
I said ginger spice mostly because of the beer that I was drinking.
I get it.
No, so I mean, in back in the day, maybe ginger, but with time passed, and we can pick our favorite Spice Girl now. I was scary.
I'm sticking with ginger.
Lee's with me.
It's all good.
No, you
can.
I think
I said angry spice during the episode, and I'm like, oh no, she wasn't angry. She was scary. But I mean,
just scared. She was just scared. She wasn't angry. She was just scared. And then she got scary.
So one of the other things, we have like half an hour before this place closes. So I'm going to try to talk about Cincy Brewcast.
Yeah, because we probably want to have a beer or two.
Before like, we head out. Like, exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Just to chill.
So Gnome thinks, this is one of the things I've written down. They talked about Urban Artifact. hopefully, possibly bringing back their 12 Beers of Christmas. Cool. So for someone who's not from the Cincinnati area, you're familiar with Urban Artifacts. So a couple years ago, they did a 12 Beers of Christmas. They also did a Halloween
beer box.
They did. They'd always do an April Fool's also, right? And that's where Pickle came from, right?
Is that correct? Pickle was always intended to happen as a Christmas beer because of the pickle ornament.
Okay.
But they didn't know if it would actually land
it started as a gag.
We think people like it because we want people to like it.
And
I love it, I'm a pickle person, I love whiskey chaser.
If you're gonna do a pickleback, is pickle beer from
I am a little upset that it is now a winter beer and not a summer beer.
Well, because it's been both for the past two years, right?
It has, just I think because of the demand, but I think they want it to be a Christmas beer. 12 Beers of Christmas, which could be anything from a figgy pudding beer to something similar to what they had in the Beer Vent calendar, a coal beer.
Mm-hmm.
You never know what's going to come out of that box. So I think that...
And you never know what's going to come out of...
Urban period. But I feel like Gnome thought that Urban's 12 Beers of Christmas was just for him. Like, we're making it just because you want it. And it's like, just because...
He took it personally.
Just because you're texting with Brett directly doesn't mean it's all about you. So kind of wanted to kind of give him a little humility check right there. But if they do bring it back, I think it'll be... absolutely awesome.
I think so.
Sure, it would be.
For sure.
Yeah, one of the things that he touched on that we kind of corrected in the Weekly Pint was he said that there were no new breweries that opened in 2021, which would have been true aside from the OTR Stillhouse,
because
they are brewing their own beer.
They are.
Yeah.
So do you guys consider that a brewery, or because it is such a multifaceted...
I consider it a brewery.
I think he was accurate until they opened.
But he knew they were going to be opening.
He went to the soft opening.
Well, I think that happened the weekend after we recorded.
But again, they were guaranteed to open, right? I mean, I'm not butthurt about that. I mean, they're not open until they're open.
I am, but I mean, that's just me.
That's okay. I mean, whatever.
No, I was there this past Saturday for their opening, and shout out to John and Chris, the brewer and assistant brewer. Their beer was spot on. I mean, I'm excited to get down there and try it.
Hell yeah!
There's always, you know, I've heard on plenty of podcasts about the, in general, the kind of 3, 4, 6 months. We got to get it dialed in.
Right.
No, that shit was dialed in already.
I feel like they've had enough time on their system.
Their Belgian blonde was fantastic. Their Kolsch, probably right now my favorite style. If you had to pin me down, is Kolsch. It was right on what I'm looking for in a beer a Kolsch. It was great. It was a really good experience. The space is wonderful. So shout out to them.
For the listeners who don't know what we're talking about, just explain the space that we're talking about.
I'll let Lee do this because he's been to said space.
That came up in the show.
Yeah, so OTR Stillhouse, it just opened up this past weekend. So I think it was
the 18th, 17th,
And it was... It is a to me, it's advertised as a distillery first.
Mm-hmm. The Joseph Knox Distillery.
Mm-hmm. But they also brew, and I think they had close to 10, around 10-ish beers on tap also.
Okay.
Chris Mitchell and then John, I forgot his last name, but I met with him. Chris is the head brewer, and then John is the assistant brewer. Put out a great lineup of beers. Cool. I did two different flights, and they were all great. They also had a bourbon on, and they also had a vodka, and then two different gins, and they had a various, I think they probably had 7 or 8 cocktails, craft cocktails there as well. They also have food. It's kind of a multi-purpose space. So
wine as well, I believe.
Wine as well, yes. It's kind of a multi-purpose space. It's a tap room. You see the big still there, the big copper still kind of displayed right there in the middle of the tap room. There's a stage there for bands. There was a band playing when I was there. Then they also have a very, very, a pretty good size outdoor space, like an AstroTurf outdoor space there.
Nice.
All of it is made by them.
By them, correct.
Yes. And I did ask the question of, so is this beer made here?
Mm-hmm.
And they said, it's made on site.
On premise.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
And the wine
is made on site too.
That's a huge deal, though. I mean,
I agree.
They're making their own spirits, wine, mm-hmm. beer, and then they're making cocktails. And
yeah, own cocktail program. Yep.
You know, own cocktail program, and you can do that when you have spirits. I don't want to get in the weeds or anything.
And not all of their cocktails, I don't believe, had all of their spirits. They might have had some of their honey, because I know I had a mezcal cocktail that was fantastic, and obviously they're not making mm-hmm. mezcal there.
Right.
Yeah. So
right.
I don't want to get in the weeds on that, but the point is, just about everything from an alcohol standpoint is made there.
Oh, they got
it's made
on there, their, right. They're on covering their side. All the bases,
which leads to kind of one of the next notes that I had about Cincy Brewcast. We did have a conversation about, do you consider places where they don't actually brew on site breweries, or are they just tap rooms that are part of, you know, this is the Braxton Tap Room. I know that Labs... They're a whole different story,
sure.
But I'm just using them as one of the big local names that you hear with multiple locations. OTR Stillhouse is 100% a distillery, a brewery,
I believe they're brewing in-house.
Right, because
They are, because I did see the
tanks.
They have
stainless
in-house.
I can
confirm they're brewing
in-house. That's awesome.
I honestly think, first of all, whatever the government deems them as, good for them. That's good for, you know, law and production or you know, that sort of thing. What we're talking about is, hey, do you brew?
Mm-hmm.
Do you brew on site?
Right.
And if you don't, that's fine.
And
just
I don't
let
understand
us know
the stigma or like the understanding of like just to call yourself a taproom, like the North High over in Oakley. Like, I don't know that they call themselves a brewery. Just say you're a tap room.
Right.
That's
exactly.
Right.
From an outside perspective, that's still cool to be a tap room. It's like, oh, we only have these beers from this one place.
I don't feel
that's
like there's a big enough
a cool thing.
I don't feel like there's a big enough percentage of the population that goes, and I brought this up on the Weekly Pint. On the Cincinnati Brewcast, I even mentioned that I don't think that the number of people that would walk out of a place because they don't have things brewed
on site. There's no stainless in here. What the hell?
You're going to have the teeny tiny handful, the maybe three people in the city that are big enough assholes and snobs about this stuff that go, oh, wait, you don't brew here? Well, no, I'm walking out. I'm not going to buy anything.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And if you're not brewing there, then you're a tap room.
Sure.
And that's still cool.
Yeah.
It's still fine, and I would
That still makes you cooler than a bar. It differentiates you from a bar.
Correct. It just differentiates you from a bar, and I would rather you just be
forthcoming and
present with the fact that you're a bar, and it's okay, and that's fine.
But at the same time, how many people that aren't super into the beer scene to where is it brewed on site are asking them when they walk into the second, third, fourth location of a brewery, how many people are actually asking, was this made on site?
What I would ask myself as a proprietor or a manager, mm-hmm. not even a proprietor, a manager, let's say, this tap room is somebody else's tap room. Let's say craft breweries.
Sure.
That's fine.
Sure.
Craft breweries, extended tap room. If I'm the manager there, I am being very forthcoming with where a tap room. I am going to let them know what makes us unique is the beer that we have and maybe some of the cool stuff that we occasionally get. And if this person comes in and says, well, if you don't brew here, then I should probably go drink somewhere else. That's fine. You
represent the smallest of smallest percentage of customers.
Agreed.
That is not going to get it. Because at the end of the day, if you come to a tap room, is
the beer good? You're there to drink. You're not right.
Is the beer good?
100%.
And also, is the space good?
Right.
Is the space cool?
Right.
Because sometimes you can open up a tap room in a really cool space that might be cooler than the fucking warehouse that you have to brew your beer at.
Right.
Without a doubt. And that's my point is that...
But call it a tap room. Don't call it a brewery.
If you're going to be that, staunch, smallest 1% of 1%, then... go do what you want to do because ultimately you aren't the person that we're trying to hit by volume to make our business flow.
And the example that I'll use, and I could be 100% mistaken on this, so I'll use again Braxton as kind of my point of reference, Braxton Labs. I do not remember if they actually brew beer at the Braxton Labs location or not.
I believe they do.
Okay, so, but let's pretend hypothetically that they didn't. Let's pretend that all of the small batch experimental beers that are in Braxton Labs, inside Party Source, are brewed at the main Braxton Covington location. And they say, we want to offer this to the public to try, but the main Braxton tap room has a limited number of taps. We have dedicated taps for the beers we know are established, but we still want to get these beers out there. So let's, again... purely hypothetical. They take these beers that are brewed at Braxton Covington. They ship them 5 minutes down the road to Braxton Labs to put on taps for people, the public to try them to see, can this move through our next set?
Right.
I see nothing wrong with Braxton Labs saying, or presenting themselves as, if that 1%, that less than 1% was this brewed here on site. If they say, no, this was brewed 5 minutes down the road, 30 minutes down the road, 5 hours down the road, who gives a shit?
Is it good?
But we don't know if this is going to hit with the public, so it was sent here to a smaller venue to offer to the public. Why is that a bad thing? Why is that so polarizing to people?
I guess it's if it's the false advertising, if they're advertising as a brewery.
Right. And that's my thing. Don't say
just call it a tap room.
Sure, exactly.
Yeah.
And some people are like, well, but if you don't brew here, this is not a place I want to be. Well, then fuck you.
Then don't go there.
That's your own preference.
I'm 70 other breweries to go to if you want to.
I'm not going to tell you wrong or right if you step in somewhere and say, oh, well, if you don't brew here, I'm leaving.
Brewcast, I personally don't know or I have never seen a situation to where I felt like someone's going to walk out if it's not brewed on site. But from the craft beer community,
there are those
individuals every now and then.
Yes, it's the facade, the faux and the facade that we don't like.
Yeah.
The transparency is what we would rather.
Exactly.
Right. And I think I said on the show. So I apologize, Mark. Go ahead, finish your sentiment.
No, I mean, realistically, look, if you're not brewing there, just tell us and. We'll be fine, and you live with that truth, but let it be the truth. And for a show that does a lot of fun and poking around at this and that, but there are some things that we just would rather be true, right? We don't make up who's on the shows that are there. So don't make up the fact that you brew somewhere that you don't.
Right. Kind of like what I said, if you're pretending about that, what else are you not being honest about? And for some of the employees, they just have no idea and it's not on them.
And that's
the other thing. It's not on the employees.
Correct.
Exactly. So please.
In general, just don't be a dick. Just be cool.
Just be cool and go ahead.
I was just going to say, I need to rein this in because we are... starting to close this place down. The tap listings have already been shut off. I believe we have missed. No. This has been an absolutely phenomenal conversation from the time we've recorded. So I just want to kind of cover over a couple other of the notes that I had written down about Cincy Brewcast before we wrap this all up. First and foremost, if you for some reason listen to us and you have no idea who the Gnarly Gnome is, who Cincy Brewcast, or what the Cincy Brewcast is, thegnarlygnome.com. Cincy Brewcast on absolutely any podcast catcher that you could possibly be using. Find him, listen to him, support him. The Weekly Pint on Facebook is kind of his live stream every Monday between 9 and 9:30 p.m. Some of the other things from this episode, we learned that Gnome does absolutely nothing in post. Marco and I tried to mark the spots where it's like, hey, cut this out. And he did nothing with it. So come on, Gnome. Your laziness with editing the podcast is almost on par with Josh from Shift Beers.
We'll see how this one gets edited, because there's some shit up
there
in here.
There is some shit in this one.
But just
again,
wait.
It doesn't matter if there's... Ooh, there we go, as I hit the mic cord. If there's a mark, I listen and I will edit.
Yeah.
As we found out, Gnome had marks. He had us clapping, making those spikes, and he did nothing. Instead, he just said, I hate you guys.
Yeah, I did hear that.
Come on, man.
Just watch. Just watch. I mean, we're the show with laminated show notes with a...
Who's a true professional here?
You know, we're the show with production meetings and so on and so forth. I mean,
it was rigorous, too, to be honest.
Yeah, as now that you've been part of it, it was pretty...
We had a production meeting. We had a mid-show production meeting.
We had to retouch, next on the list, John Lee is not allowed on any more Cincinnati podcast because he's a Michigan fan.
John,
you are amazing. You are awesome, but your choice in...
I'm not a Michigan fan either.
Okay.
No, I'm not.
Okay. I was going to say, please don't break my heart the way that John did.
Go Vols.
Don't
all day.
Break
go Vols.
My heart.
I am also not a Ohio State fan.
One of the next notes I had... And I agree with this, even though I'm not a huge Christmas person. Absolutely zero Christmas anything before Thanksgiving. Day after Thanksgiving,
I stand behind that.
Fuck clean off if you try to do that.
Yeah, the day after Thanksgiving, all bets are off. You can do whatever you want.
I push it just a touch further to December 1st.
But
that's because my birthday's around Thanksgiving, and I don't want any Christmas shit after
Well, happy belated birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
And the last thing that I had written down... Julia needs a beer fridge.
Yes.
She does.
She does.
Julia needs a beer fridge.
You got one more vote right here.
You've heard it here on Truth
Beer. It doesn't have to be even like a full fridge.
No. Just even one of the mini fridge. Just something to get.
It just
something
has to hold.
So I could have actual food in my refrigerator.
Exactly.
And not beer.
So I think the only thing that's left to do is I think we have... a couple of notes that we need to hit, right?
Correct. Lee, we will thank you properly before we actually wrap up the show, but because this is our Christmas episode, I want to give a huge happy holidays, whatever you celebrate, or even if you don't celebrate anything, I want to shout you out this season at the end of December, the end of the year, Christmas, holiday, Festivus, whatever it may be, to all of the Cincinnati Craft Beer podcasts that we have covered over the last 21 episodes, Cincy Brewcast, the Hustle and Brews Outcast podcast, or Hustle and Brews,
Hustle and Brews.
So Outcast podcast, Hustle and Brews, two separate shows, both are amazing. Shift Beers, you guys have been absolutely amazing at supporting us. We love you guys. We love harassing you guys. Can't thank you enough. Sonder Stories, I don't think any of them listen to our show, but if they do, we love you guys. Every episode's amazing.
I think all of them listen to the show. They're just
they just don't know what to do with it.
They're just so on brand, they won't recognize
they're like, we can't do this. Beer is not for boys. Diamond, we need your voice. We love the one-and-a-half-ish episodes you put out. We would love to hear more. Follow Beer is Not for Boys on all the social medias. Craft Parenting Podcast. Even though not 100% of their podcasts are about beer, they are amazing people. Caroline and Joe, I'm sorry.
Caroline.
They're amazing. If you have any interest in a day in the life, or rather a week in the life of Cincinnati parents, follow them. Caroline's Creative Crafts, I believe, I'm probably getting that wrong. Caroline has a crafting mini business side hustle that she does. She makes fleece blankets and all kinds of really cool stuff. Check that out.
Crochet condoms.
They don't. So pro tip, crochet condoms do nothing for birth control, but they look cool and they feel
fantastic.
Weird.
It's a Christmas morning sock. They look great.
So, Crap Parenting Podcast, follow them, wanted to shout them out, and a non-Cincinnati podcast, The Newbert Report. You guys are so funny. Thank you so much for following along with the weird podcast, the weird niche podcast that we do that has nothing to do with Canada, nothing to do with sports. It has everything to do with 99% Cincinnati.
It was 229 this week, right?
Yeah. It was. So shout out to the Newbert Report. Happy holidays to you. And to all of these Cincinnati beer podcasts that are probably out there that we just don't know about, that we haven't found yet, happy holidays to you. Thank you for being out there and putting out content. Once we find you on our podcast, podcatchers, whatever they're called, because technology is hard, we will listen and we will make fun of you guys and make up stories about what you're actually saying on your podcast. And a huge, huge, huge shout out to our host, BC's Bottle Lodge Montgomery, producer Brian, producer Kenny, producer
Ben.
Sorry, I was choking on my own spit there. Producer Ben, thank you so much for filling that in for me.
Shout out to the Dougs tonight
shout
also.
Shout out to the Dougs.
Shout out to the Dougs.
And to Higher Gravity for making the absolute best beer event calendar that exists in the entire world, hands down. That's what I wanted to say before we wrap this all up.
So on this Christmas Eve podcast, I certainly want to thank Lee for joining us. I want to thank Julia for everything that she does for Truth Beer Pod.
And thank you, Marco.
Oh, you're very welcome. This is episode 21. So we've been at this, you can do the math, for over, 5 months?
Mm.
Also want to thank all of our family members that are involved in supporting us in this really fun venture. My wife, my family, you know, the extended family that listens. And I'm sure Julia wants to shout out
to my mom and my Josh who listen. If any of my other family members listen as well, let me know that you listen so I can thank you on the show. But really appreciate the support.
It's truly been a very fun ride for the past 21 live episodes. And then plus that, this is really fun. Julie and I truly, truly enjoy it. This is something that I know I speak for myself, but I think I speak for Julia, that we look forward to every week, every Tuesday, to get together and to share this time. And I truly want everyone out there in Podcastlandia to have a really fantastic holiday season. And thank you. And 2022 is coming soon. We're going to have another episode before 2022.
Yep.
2022 is going to be another ride, and we look forward to having you on that ride. So cheers, everyone. And, do something special, do something fun, grab a special beer at some point, share it with the people you love, and, you know, just have a great time. And, by the way, Caribbean Queen, that's the way I say it.
Caribbean. Lee?
Caribbean.
All right.
Caribbean. I probably said it different each time, but it's fine.
It's cool. Lee, thank you so incredibly much for being
here.
Thank
you guys.
You
for
are welcome.
Us
anytime you're
on.
In the area on a Tuesday evening, you know where we'll be. You are more than welcome.
Thank you so much.
Such a phenomenal guest. Thank you
so much. And sorry for getting things off the rails, but it's been an absolute blast.
That is part of the fun.
I think the listeners are going to enjoy it. And I'll have a blue
Christmas
without you. Will be so blue.
So, Marco, this is normally
what you're going to fade out.
No, well, I was waiting to cheers, even though it looks like a couple glasses are empty.
Situation.
But we have already shut down the bar, so it's cool. It's cool. I can
go grab some stuff out of the cooler.
We have Baja Blast seltzers. If you want to open one of those, let's do it. Let's crack open Baja Blast. Baja Blast Off seltzer from March 1st.
Is that some lukewarm Baja Blast Off?
It's good either way.
Hey, so, it is.
So as
you're about to get some burps on here then.
As we wrap up this episode, Marco, what are you going to be doing next Tuesday?
I'm going to listen to all the craft beer podcasts around, and I'm going to come and talk with you next Tuesday.
Sounds good. I'll see you there.
Cheers.
Cheers, Lee. Cheers.
Cheers.
You closed everything in. Can I order?